Well, I didn't have anything else planned for today. Let's go get drunk.
All right, this is Let's Get Drunk 3. Yeah, we did 3. No, we're on 3, aren't we?
Let's go with yes.
You know, let's just look at the website. I don't remember these things for some reason. I don't have a good recollection of this show for some strange reason. I don't know why. So, no, we're on 4. We've already done 3. So we're actually on number 4. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to knocking myself out here since I've had a headache all day today. I don't know about you guys. So what I've got is I've got my blackberry beer, which is done and doesn't really taste like blackberries. And I'm not really sure how well it came out. I'm going to need to let it lager for a couple of weeks. I can tell already, but I've got that. And then I've got the Woodfords I'm taking to Gen Con. I got into that. So, Madman, what do you got, man?
I've got 2 different beers from BBC, the Bluegrass Brewing Company. I've got an amber ale and a nut brown ale.
Nice. What do you got, Rofaxon?
I have Guinness Black Lager, and then I've gone with whiskey for the rest, and it's my very favorite whiskey, Jameson.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know, I thought about getting into the Arrogant Bastard for tonight's show, too, but I was kind of wanting to save that for the trip. If nothing else, just to see the look on everybody else's face if they ever try it. So, I can't see many other people liking that at first try. So, I did. I thought it was great, but we'll see what happens at the meetup with that stuff. But anyways, yeah, I've been fighting with my phone all damn day. I ended up taking it back to stock on the ROM, and that's cleared up almost all of the problems I was having. But just fighting with that all day is giving me a hell of a headache. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting drunk.
Well, if you need to know where to get a good ROM, I've got a Chinese website.
There you go.
That's where mine comes from.
No, I'm going to leave it at stock for now. I was trying to fix a problem I was having with an OTG cable, and when I tried a different ROM, it made things a hell of a lot worse. Like, half my programs wouldn't even run. I'd just get a, you know, has stopped error. It's like, oh, that's nice. And so it's like, well, maybe I just need to reinstall some of these apps that are having problems. Oh, no, the Play Store is one of those that is won't run. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's always a problem when the Play Store doesn't run.
So I gave up on the rooted ROMs and went back to stock for now. And I'll try again here after a bit, but I need my phone to work since we're going to Gen Con next week. So I don't really have time to go messing around with it and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So, but for some reason, I still can't get a USB sound card in the thing to work. That's annoying because I find all these posts, people say, oh yeah, it works great, you just plug it in. And no, it's not working great on mine, and I'm not sure what's going on. I even got out the freaking multimeter to check my cables to make sure all the lines were good. So I have no idea what's going on. But, yeah.
Why do you need a USB sound thing going in there?
It's a long and complicated story, but needless to say, shortest explanation, I wanted to be able to use my phone as a backup if the hotel's internet connection is shit for doing live streams.
Ew, okay.
So, there's a little headset jack on the the little input jack on the headset, will work, but I'd rather get something better if I could. So, I'm just going to have to make a little custom cable for the headset jack, I think, because I'm about out of time to work on it. But anyways, on to this blackberry beer that I was trying to make. And it did come out kind of red. It's kind of a reddish brown. It's not very clear. And it's... I'm not sure. I still can't make up my mind if I like it or not. I'll let Madman try a little bit of it last week when we first decided it was done and I put it in the fridge. It's been lagering for a week, and I can't decide if it's gotten any better or not. So, I guess the thing to do would be to run it through your rating app, wouldn't it?
Yes, which you can buy for only a dollar in the Play Store. Yeah,
I didn't think it was a bad beer. I just didn't taste any hint of blackberry in it.
It came out really strong, and I think that's all the sugar in the blackberries gave the yeast something to work with. So,
what did you do for blackberries again? Did you do a syrup or?
Oh no, I made a blackberry syrup out of blackberries.
Oh, okay.
So I was actually terrified that this was going to be my first beer to get an infection because I was using actual blackberries.
Right.
So far, it hasn't. I mean, I haven't had any bottle bombs yet. Actually, this one, it didn't hold its head very long. I mean, it's got a little bit on there, but the foam went down fairly quick. So
that's a problem I have with home brews as well. They don't usually have good head retention. And a lot of times, they're not clear. How much did you put in of blackberries versus everything else?
I made a gallon of the stuff. I put it in about a cup of blackberries.
Well, if the blackberries aren't strong, you could always do 2 cups next time.
Yeah. That's certainly a possibility. I think I'm just going to let it lager in my fridge for a couple of weeks and come back to it and see if that helps it any, you know?
Probably be a good idea.
So, let's just run it down through your app here. First up is Aroma. I can't really smell the malt. I mean, it's there, but barely. So we'll say 2 out of 5. Hops is crazy strong, so give that the 5 out of 5, because you didn't smell the hops. And balance is off, so what, 4 out of 10? Let's see. Color. Color's actually pretty good, so we'll go ahead and give that the 4. Clarity gets a 0. Head retention. Oh, it's got a little bit. We'll give it a 1. So I'm just running down through this real quick because I haven't actually tried to rate this beer, and I think it needs to age. I really do. It almost tastes like a stout, which is strange because it's not a stout.
Not necessarily a good thing, but.
So let's see, malt. You can taste it, kinda. I'll go 5 out of 10. Hops, yeah, that's there. Sip this. Actually, the balance isn't that bad. The aroma's off, but the balance is actually pretty good. So let's rebalance that a little bit. I'm gonna go for 6 out of 10 on the malt. 8 out of 10 on the hops, and I'm going to put a 12 on the balance, which is out of 20. Aftertaste is fine. We'll give it a 5. Carbonation is okay. We'll give it a 3 out of 5. Body's good. It'll get the 10 on that. Overall impression, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. Calculate it up. That is in the pour category, so I guess I need to try harder when I'm experimenting with my beers.
Well, this scale is a little harsh. Keep the and you're kind of harsh on some of those categories. Hey, at least it's not a swill.
Yeah, yeah, it's only a handful of points away from swill, but I don't know. I can't. It's not like bad. Like, oh God, throw it out, right?
Right.
But if I bought a beer and it tasted like that, I certainly wouldn't buy it again.
Well, now what will be interesting is give it like a couple months and then rate it again and see how much it changes.
That's actually a really good idea. Because I haven't really let any of my beers age. We usually end up drinking them all before they get a chance to do that. So.
When it comes to doing flavor infusion, especially with fresh ingredients, is there a good idea of the proportions whenever you're doing like a blackberry beer or a strawberry beer or whatever? Or is it all straight guesswork?
Oh, I'm sure if you were a good brewer, it wouldn't be, but I don't know.
I was half following a recipe when I made this one. I couldn't find the malts it was calling for, so I substituted out and ended up making a malt, ended up making a wort that was a lot closer to the IPA I made a couple of months ago, and put the blackberries in it, essentially. So that might be why the flavor is, why I can't seem to place it, because I may not have it balanced against the correct malts for putting something like a blackberry in it.
It's funny, it tastes like a stout. I wonder how much body the blackberries add.
I don't know. I mean, it's not... It just doesn't taste like what you would expect that a beer that looks like that to taste like.
Right, okay. Now, I have read somewhere or the other the sugar coming from non-malts is not supposed to exceed 20%. And I guess you'd have to do math to figure out exactly how much blackberry you could put in before it got to 20%. But I do know you're not supposed to put in more than 20% of your sugar from non-malts. Other than that, I think it's kind of a matter of taste thing. So, if you like it more, put in more, or less, put in less, as long as you're not going over that 20%.
Did it right. Give a reason for that?
Yes. It's a different type of sugar, I guess, and they said when you get over 20%, you can start having off flavors, and apparently the biggest one is sort of cidery notes, kind of like hard cider, and cider notes are kind of a flaw in beer. And I did once before I had read that, it was, I think, my first batch, I put in a bunch of, it was from a kit, and I put in a bunch of sugar to, like, kick up the alcohol volume, and I put in more than 20% in it. I guess cidery is the right word for it. It had a weird off flavor that wasn't good. So
that's
my understanding
is
that's the reason.
That's how usually they say to use a corn sugar if you're wanting to just boost the alcohol, right?
Yeah, if you want to boost the alcohol, use corn sugar, but still use less than 20%. Because even with corn sugar, when you get up to over 20%, it still starts getting those cidery notes.
Gotcha.
And cane sugar, I think, gives it a different off flavor, which it's really hard to describe, and I haven't tried it for like 5 years, so I'm not going to be able to describe it off the top of my head, but it's not a good one. So yeah, no, if you're throwing sugar in, and some beers do ask that you add sugar, I can't remember what they are, something monks make, what it is, but they'll still keep the sugar close to 20%, but they don't usually go over, and it is corn sugar in that case.
But, now that I'm thinking back on it, when I was making the blackberry syrup, I put, a couple of tablespoons of sugar in there to mix with the blackberries as I heated it up and mashed them up.
I don't think a couple of tablespoons would matter.
Well, plus what's maybe in the blackberries, though.
True. I wonder if you calculated the percentage, what that would come to.
No, I didn't do the math on it. I was kind of mostly following the recipe.
Well, but if it doesn't have that, this kind of cidery, sharp undertones, then you're probably good. But
no,
adding
just,
2 cups might be too much.
It's not got like a real sharp cideriness to it. It's just got a flavor that's not the best beer flavor. I don't know how to. Yeah, we just need to let it sit and see what it does.
Yeah. And sometimes types of, just letting it sit makes huge differences in beer.
But this stuff's been lagering for about a week. So, I'll come back to it, first of the month. See what, crack open another bottle, see what it's done. Hell, it may turn into something fantastic. You never know.
Yeah. I do sometimes.
But yeah, this has like zero clarity to it at all. Like holding it up to a light, I can barely see my fingers through it.
Now, sometimes a lot of that stuff will settle down if you just let it set. Just be careful when you pour it into a glass so you don't pour it all in there. But the clarity will get better with time, too, generally speaking.
So, all right, Medman, why don't you hit up one of those beers you're drinking?
I'm currently drinking an amber ale. And before I rated it, I wanted to actually look up and see what made an amber ale an amber ale. So I went to Rate Beer, the website that defines beer, you know, has a generic rating system also. I wasn't going to use its rating system, but I wanted to look up what makes an amber ale an amber ale. And apparently nobody's sure about that. It starts out the definition of an amber ale as an ale without definition, which whenever you're doing a definition seems stupid to say that. But they're supposed to range from bland, which I've never had a bland amber ale, or if I have it, I just called it crappy beer and left it at that. But all the way up to a red, so they're kind of similar to like a Killian's Irish Red or any type of just Irish red ale. And I thought they would be completely two different things, because amber is just like a light brown color. Red ales, usually when I've drank them, have an auburn or reddish color. And I figured the malts would be different enough that you would just say, these type of malts make this type of beer. Apparently I'm wrong. But it's supposed to be a malty beer with bit of a bitter aftertaste, which this is. As far as clarity, when I've been judging clarity, I haven't really been looking, can I see my fingers through it? Because I've been drinking darker beers, and if I'm drinking a stout and I can see things through it, I'm not sure it's a good stout. I've been going with, is there sediment in it? More than just, is the color completely clear? Because this has a nice amber color to it. It's sediment-free. And using the whole, can you see your fingers through it? If I'm holding the glass, I can.
Well, this beer looks like it should be one you should be able to see through. That's why I say that. I mean, yeah, no, you're not going to be able to see through an Arrogant Bastard or a Guinness or any other, you know, good black beers like that. And I think that's probably something you should take into account too. If you're trying to make a stout and you can see through it, that means the clarity's wrong. So
yes, that would definitely be a bad stout. But this is pretty good. The malts are the initial flavor I get, and there's still a bitter aftertaste. I think it's balanced well. It's not overly hoppy, which is a problem I've started noticing with microbrews. I think mainly because it was pointed out to me.
See, that's where you thank Rogue Paxton for turning you into a beer snob. It's sort of like if you hate someone, you teach them how to recognize bad kerning in signs. And if you don't know what that means, look it up and then realize how much you hate me for pointing it out.
But it's not overly bitter. It just has enough of a hoppy flavor to say, yes, you are drinking a beer. So I think it's a pretty decent beer, and I'll probably be buying it again. I need to actually buy that app at the App Store, and I can just start grading using Rofaxon's app.
There is a free version.
Nah, it's a buck. I'll buy a dollar app.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, if you know what, I have a huge amount of people who won't. They're just like, a dollar? Oh my God, you think I'm made of money? And yeah, so a lot of people don't buy it. But, I mean, if you'll put up with the advertisements and buy the free one, it doesn't make me any money, but I actually put the advertisements in just to irritate people.
Reading some of the Android developer forums, a lot of them say they make a lot more off advertisements than they do off app sales.
Yeah, well, you have to have more than 15 people download your app to start making money on advertisements.
You know, it is funny, though, the number of people who will drop $800 on a phone without even really thinking about it, or $300 on a tablet or something like that. But then you turn around and ask 99 cents for an app, and they're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
I spend that much on a Coke.
Wait, $800 or a buck?
A buck. Oh God, I wish I could afford to spend $800 on a Coke.
Have to be really good.
I don't know. If I was just stupid, insanely rich, I could throw money around like it was nothing.
How nice that would be.
Like, I'll spend $800 on a Star Cola. And since neither of you probably even know what that is, it says how crappy that cola is.
Just looking these things up.
So, well, real facts, and I was...
is really annoying.
I was thinking about something with the home brewing, and I don't know. I mean, what do you think about actually using extracts just to get your wort going, as opposed to using the actual grains and doing the sparge and all that crazy stuff?
You know, the thing is, okay, I had a friend, the one who got me into home brewing, actually, and he used extracts exclusively. He only used extracts, and he made some really good beer. And in the wintertime, I use extracts because my brewing setup has to go outside because it's got the boiler and everything else. And I can't do that in the basement, but I don't want to just completely stop brewing in the winter, so I use extracts in the winter. I don't think there's a huge problem with extracts. It's easier, it's faster, you make comparable beer. I think it's a really good idea to do the whole all grain thing at least a couple times so you understand the process. And you know, there's the experimental side of me that wants to be able to control every single step of the process. If you know, maybe I want to add something, maybe I want a different base grains. You can't really get a dry malt extract made of plantains or something, which that for your base grain because it's expensive. But, I mean, I like the control that all grain gives me, so I like using it. But I still make extracts myself sometimes because sometimes you're just like, I've got a really good idea for a beer, but I don't have all that much time necessarily, or maybe I just don't want to deal with the all grain process, so I'm going to go with the extract process. And honestly, if you're after a good beer, you can still be extremely creative and make extremely good beers with extracts.
Well, the reason I actually brought it up was when I first started homebrewing, I did it with Mr. Beer Kit, and that is an extract kit, right? Mm. So, but you're not really, you know, you're just dumping the extract in a pan, because that's not even a recipe extract. That's everything's in the extract. You just add water and let it ferment, right? Yeah. And that's fine. That's actually a really good introduction to the process. So I'm not knocking that at all. It was a great way to get me started. But the place I have locally to buy brewing supplies, they don't carry that much in the way of you know, grains, and they don't have a grinder. So I bought all these grains to do this blackberry beer and realized I didn't have a grinder, and I couldn't find one in town anywhere that wasn't retardedly expensive. So what I ended up doing, and this is crazy, was I ran my grains, and this is one of the reasons that I only did a 1 gallon batch, through a coffee grinder. Now, it was clean.
How long did that take?
Couple hours.
Yeah, I imagine. You know what? That could be why it's so not clear. I bet coffee grinders make more dust than regular grinders.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, grinders are freaking ridiculously expensive. My wife got me mine for my birthday a few years ago, so I don't know exactly how much it was, but they're not cheap. And I know mine came from the brewing store because that's the only place you can buy it. And, you know, if you're doing extracts, you know, you get your extract from the kit or whatever, you still have to add, I mean, if you want something creative, you still have to, like, buy the grains, but you don't have to grind them. You can just kind of smash them up, like, with a rolling pin. I don't have a place. See, my place grinds my grains for me for free. Which is expected.
Well,
my
what ours is, grind is them. It's more of a liquor. It's just a, you know, a good liquor store that happens to have a little section dedicated to homebrewing over there. And it's because apparently a couple of the guys who worked there got into it, and they've just started carrying it. So it's not like a dedicated homebrew shop. It's more of a corner in a liquor store. But they've got a lot of the different extract stuff, but almost, I mean, they've got some grains. But that's one of the reasons I was substituting on that recipe. And like I said, I ran everything through a coffee grinder.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to be a pain.
It was manual coffee grinder, too. That's the fun part. So I was trying to, and I did that on purpose, because I was trying to not over-grind them.
Yeah.
So that might also be why the flavor is so off.
What selection did you use? Because I know coffee grinders usually have three or four.
Oh, no. This was a cheap coffee grinder. It was hold the button down until you thought it was good.
Okay.
So... yeah, I mean, I would put the grains in, give them a couple of pulses, and then, you know, throw those in the bowl, go get the next set of grains.
Yeah, that
took
a
long time.
If you don't have someone grinding for you, I would really consider just doing the extract. Just get their dry malt extract, because that has see, the thing I don't like about some of the extract kits is it has everything. It's like,
right,
we already put your specialty grains in. Oh, and we threw the hops in too. It's like, I don't want that.
Well, they've got those, but they do have a whole bunch, you know, the dry malt extracts and some of the flavoring stuff. So
okay.
I have no idea how to use some of that stuff, but I figured that might be the thing to do, since that's what the supplies are.
Right. And it's a shorter process too, which is nice. And I don't have an all grain recipe off the top of my head, but you know, you just buy 6 pounds or 9 pounds, somewhere in there. And you just look up a recipe online.
Yeah.
And you can throw that in and you boil it, but then you buy your specialty grains and you don't need them to actually convert sugars, you just need them for flavor. So you end up smashing those up and you just let them boil for an hour, and then you pour the water that makes. So it's kind of like steeping a tea, and you pour the water that makes in with your dry malt extract, and that gives you pretty much the same flavor that those grains would give you if you're doing an all grain, except don't have to worry about converting into sugar and all that. And then you boil it for another hour and you throw your hops in at your 45 minutes or in your throw them in at when you start in 15 minutes before it's done or whatever. So you still can get total control of if it's going to be a stout or a pale ale, and you get your total control of how many IBUs. The only thing you're cutting out is that actual conversion process when you're turning starches into sugar, which is a fun project and a cool project. And, you know, you can get that gray base grain exactly what you want it to be. However, you'll have a huge variety, and they probably have a light and a dark dry malt extract. You can still have a huge variety of beer just going with extract brewing.
Okay. Cool.
I was thinking that.
I was thinking that would be my next step, since I'm having a hard time getting the supplies I need. I don't like ordering them online, and grinders are not cheap.
No, and the shipping will kill you.
That's why I don't like ordering them.
I thought because I've got Amazon Prime, and I was like, oh man, this is brilliant. I'm going to order my beer supplies from Amazon. Free shipping. The one thing they have no selection of.
Nope. Yeah, that Prime's nice, and a lot of times you do get the, you know, even if it's not the 2-day, you'll get your shipping comped, but
yeah,
not on some things.
No, and grains are definitely one of those things that you can't even find there, so.
Yeah. Dark. So, what are you working on there, Rofaxon?
My beer, Guinness Black Label, it says cold brewed with roasted barley. I don't know what cold brewed means. Does that mean it's like a lager? But that's not really the brewing process. Anyway, it's a good beer. I rated
Maybe they kept it cold when it was fermenting?
Yes, but you've got to have the right Well, yeah, I guess if they... But that's just a lager. Lagers ferment cold and ales ferment room temperature. I guess that's what they mean. I think it's a stupid advertising campaign that doesn't really mean anything. It's good beer, though. It got an 81 on my scale, which is good. I actually, because I'm a huge Guinness fan, thought it would be better. But it's weird. It's got, like, the taste of a stout, but then it's also got, like, the crispness of, you know, a regular, what you think of as a lager. Like, right. I don't want to use Budweiser as the example, but... That is an example of a lager. So yeah, it's got the heaviness of a stout and the lightness of like a lager. It's kind of weird. So it's not my favorite. I like regular Guinness better, but it's not bad either. It's good beer. Probably buy it again. Like a stout you could drink in the summer. Yeah. Hmm. Worth trying. Or maybe I'm not tasting things right because I had grapefruit earlier today. It's also a possibility. It ruins your taste for like a week. I have another topic if we want to discuss it.
Well, I was going to... Actually, I had something I was saving for decking, but since we were talking about Android, I thought I would point it out real quick, see if you'd looked at it.
Okay.
There's a game called RoboCode. Now, I've downloaded it. I haven't ran it yet. But the idea is you have a little robot battle tank, and you have to write Java to make it work.
Really?
I was thinking that might be a fun way to kind of practice, but I was saving it for decking, but what the hell, you know what I mean?
How'd you spell that? Just R-O-B-O code?
RoboCode, it's on SourceForge. Hang on, it's a robocode.sourceforge.net. But it's
so
just a little Java thing.
This is probably not in the Play Store.
Huh?
This is probably not in the Play Store.
No, this is on the PC Java.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was thinking. Yep. Okay, I gotcha.
Ha! Found it. God, no, I wouldn't want to type out code on my smartphone. That's...
Oh, yeah, in retrospect, that wouldn't be a good idea.
That would be painful. Especially with the auto-correction on all the keyboards.
Yes. Yes. Like, yeah, no, that wouldn't go well at all. I don't even know where the curly braces are on the smartphone. I have to go through, like, 3 sub-menus. It's like, damn it. No, I'm going to have to look at this. This looks interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking I might start playing with that one, too.
I need to improve my writing. I was trying to write today, and I wanted a program, and when you clicked a button, a new screen would open. Couldn't figure it out, even though I've done it in 3 other programs, and I swear I copied the code from the other programs and pasted it into this one and, you know, changed the necessary stuff because I'm lazy. Didn't work. I have no idea why. So I was like, okay, it's time to get drunk.
Rofaxin?
Yeah.
You were correct. It is sheer marketing. It's a lager.
But why the hell did they say cold brewed? Oh my god.
Marketing.
Come on, Gannett. No, you're
right. It is sheer marketing. There is no difference. It's just a lager.
Nice. Wow.
Very nice.
Tried to be clever there.
Yeah, it's like, what does cold brewing mean? And I look it up. There's a definition for coffee and tea that I actually track down Guinness, what cold brewing is, and it's marketing. It's a lager. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you're right, because that is how you make a lager anyways. You ferment it cold. I mean,
right. It's not an ale, because...
That's funny. So what's your topic there, Rofaxin?
Brewing software. Curious if you use any, and what you think of it, if you use any.
I haven't been using it. I've got a couple of books I've been working out of, but I haven't actually messed with the software yet.
Okay. Well, there is... I don't know. I learned about this from a podcast, which is called... Real Brewing with Beersmith or something along those lines. The guy has on really great guests. He's kind of really lame and awkward, but he has on really great guests. And he makes this software called Beersmith. It's great. I love brewing software because you just type everything in, you know, it's like, I want a stout. So you choose stout from a menu, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to put in, I don't know, 15 pounds of grain. So you type in 15 pounds of grain. Then it's got a thing, and it's got these sliders, and there'll be a green area if you're getting the right original gravity. You'll get in the green area. Then you're like, okay, now I'm going to put in 4 ounces of hops. And then there's an IBU, and there's a green area, and the bar goes to, like, where you are in the green area. So, you know, if you're in the red, you just add more or less. Excuse me, till you get everything kind of like narrowed in to exactly what you're trying to brew. And it, because I don't know. Now, see, Madman, do you homebrew or not?
I have only assisted a couple people. I haven't actually got into it myself.
Okay. Well, if you ever do, this brewing software is really convenient because when I calculated how much hops to do it the first couple times I brewed, like, I don't know, do you use the Tinseth equation? Or do you just kind of guess? Orbs?
I've just been throwing grains in a pot.
Okay. Well, when I did it, I wanted to get the right IBUs and everything, and there's an equation for it. I think it's called, there's a Tinseth's equation and a Ranger's equation, but I was using Tinseth's equation. And seriously, like, I'm trying to look this up right now so I can see if I can find it. It's Tinseth equation. Let me see if I can find a copy. Well, I'll find it eventually. Anyway, it's like this ridiculously long equation. And I was actually using that, and it was a huge pain. And the brewing software has just completely alleviated all of those problems. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan. Let's see if I can find it. And, oh, they've got scales and stuff in some of those brewing books. Oh, here it is. I don't know if this is the right equation or not, but I think it is. It's to do the Tinseth's equation, it's quantity of 1 minus e raised to the power of negative 0.04xt all over 4.15. Yeah, that's what
you
have
to do. Did you just use a natural logarithm in reality?
I may have, yeah. Well, I stopped relatively quickly after I realized that there was software that could do it for you. But yeah, it's like, who made this equation? It's ridiculously complex.
I love the fact that you just used a natural logarithm in something in reality, and I never thought I would use that in math.
Hey, aren't you glad you learned it now?
I wish I'd kept my notes and paid more attention if I was going to make beer from scratch.
Yeah, I know. And I guess you could argue you're not really making your own recipes unless you're doing the Tinseth equation by hand. And
you could
really
argue you're not
beer.
Really building your own systems unless you're writing your operating systems from scratch and not, you know, using any code from anywhere else. I'm not going to make that argument because I think it's insane.
Okay, that's true. And I suppose you could make that question. You're not really brewing if you don't grow your own grains.
Yeah. I mean, come
on.
It just gets down to how basic are you wanting to go.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some Amish guys out there who are like, yeah. So you buy your grains, huh?
And those Amish guys are drinking beer, huh?
Fair point.
Yeah.
I'm willing to buy my grains and my hops, and I'm willing to have the software do the math for me. I did it once so I could, and then I was done with it because it's a pain. However, I would like to grow my own hops one day. And I'd like to grow my own grains, just like a pound of it, and malt it myself in the oven, just so I could say that I grew my own grains and put in my own beer, because that's kind of cool.
That actually isn't difficult to do if you have a backyard.
No, it's actually really easy, which is why I should have done it by now, but I didn't even grow garden this year. I got lazy. I dug up the ground, and then I was like, oh god, I have to put seeds in it. Screw that. That doesn't really make sense. I should have not dug up the ground.
Well, I don't know. Mad Men, you on your second beer yet?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I've moved off mine. I finished off mine a little while back. I'm now on the Woodfords. And I don't even really need to talk about Woodfords. It's just a nice bourbon with a nice flavor to it. And it's a nice sipping bourbon. So I don't even really need to go into that. If you don't know what Woodfords is, just go get some. Mad Men, go on.
This is nut brown ale. It's a little darker than an amber, and it has more of a malty flavor. I'm not sure I like... I think it's a good beer, I'm just not sure I like this particular style. The clarity's good, there's no sediment. Decent head retention. But I'm not sure I'm a fan of just the nut brown ale. Because I've tried Newcastle's, which also does a nut brown, and I just wanted to try a few other varieties. And they've been decent beers. I'll drink them, but I don't think there's something I'm going to go out of my way to find.
Hmm. Fair enough. So...
I think that'd be
we need
really...
to start finding odd beers to review on the show. It's like, you know, the beer you find in the back of the shop. It's like, oh yeah, some old woman brought that in and just left it. And, you
know, oh no! this is something I found in the bottom of a shopping cart that we left there for 3 weeks.
Like, you know, some adventure in your drinking.
I've not had good luck doing that. Just, like, go to the store and find the weirdest, most obscure, covered in dust beer. Usually a reason.
I did that.
It's covered in dust.
I did that a couple nights ago, actually. And it cost me $25 for a single beer.
Wait, was it good?
It was a good beer.
Okay.
It's called Darkest Hour. I'm not sure any beer is worth $25.
That's kind of high.
I mean, it was like a pint of beer, but that's high for a pint of beer, I think. But it's called Darkest Hour. It's aged in a whiskey barrel, and it was pretty good.
And but it was still $25.
Oh yeah, it was $25. I might see if it's cheaper at a liquor store because I actually bought it while I was out at a microbrew. And I wasn't looking at prices because generally when I go out to eat, I'm a fat kid that doesn't care what I'm spending so long as I'm getting good stuff. But that one got me a bit of sticker shock when the bill came around.
I bet so. You know what you should do? Go to, like, the liquor store run by the incompetent girl. So I've got this friend, and this just happened to him. He went to get a Crown Royal Cask 16, which I haven't had yet, but I like Crown Royal. Anyway, it's like a $60, $70 bottle of whiskey. So I went up to the counter, and he's like, oh, you know, I'll have this, whatever. So the girl, like, it was weird. She didn't scan the bottle. This liquor store had it. The prices were, like, behind, So she typed in the price or whatever, and was like, that's $30. She's like, what? That's normally more expensive. He's like, that's what it says, $30. She's like, okay, I actually need two of them. Like, she totally read the Crown Royal price and applied it to the Crown Royal Cask 16. And I was like, man, when has that ever happened to me? And he's like, I was thinking about getting the Crown Royal XR, but I thought I shouldn't push my luck. But yeah, so I just say buy something really expensive, go to the incompetent liquor store, and if they're like, oh, that's $70, be like, oh, I picked up the wrong thing. Be right back.
I just have to try every clerk at every liquor store now just to see which ones are stupid.
Exactly. Hey, there's an app.
Yeah. Pricing error here quickly.
Yes.
Gee, why is everybody over here buying that stuff?
That's weird. That one really would sell. Buy it myself.
Of course, the sad part is that person probably got fired a little while later, and it's like, you sold an $80 bottle of liquor for $20? Yeah, get your things.
Well, hopefully she didn't get fired. No, I mean, my buddy was nice about it. He said, usually more expensive than that. And she said, no, that's the price. I mean, she had every option to back out, which is more than I would have done, by the way. I would have said, oh, I meant to grab two. And left it at that.
Yeah.
Don't set their prices.
Yeah, it could have been on sale.
Yeah, how was I supposed to know? I'm not a mind reader.
Like that ATM that just keeps handing out $100 bills no matter how low an amount I ask for.
I thought it was a contest.
Ah! I thought it was a temporary slot machine. Right. I asked for 20, it gave me 200.
Yeah.
There's no sign saying that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I didn't get a little warning or an agreement. No. And, you know, it's like, I wouldn't have known not to stick silly putty in my ears if there wasn't a warning. So, I mean, you know, hey. That's funny.
So you well, had Madman, a weird beard topic, Morps, or did we already discuss it?
I've kind of hit everything I had in mind for tonight. I was going to ask Rofaxon what he thought about extracts and kind of get some ideas of where to start on that. And you got anything?
We could talk about sanitation.
I generally wash once a week, whether I need to or not.
Oh, well, look at Mr. Clean Freak over there.
A bath once a year, whether he needs it or not, is enough for any man.
That's right.
I walk around when it rains every so often, just, you know, for the refreshers.
I really was listening to that Bear Smith podcast, and it was about sanitation, and I felt like such a loser, because it's like, oh, sanitation this week, and it's like, oh god, I just got excited about sanitation. Darsan, it's my suggestion.
There's not that much to talk about with sanitation, though. I mean, you make a mixture, you dump all your stuff in it, you keep some of it in a spray bottle for when you need to, you know, touch up the equipment because you touched it or had to suck on the tube to get the, you know, the siphon going again. Yeah.
I didn't know about this. It's something that's like I use Darsan. And there's this chemical, and I wish I could remember its name. I'm going to have to re-listen. But it's by the same company as Darsan, but it's low sudsing. So, because, you know, when you use Darsan, you dunk all your bottles in there, and then they're, like, just covered with bubbles because that happens. There's a low sudsing one, so you wouldn't have that problem. Isn't that amazing?
I've been using One Step. I haven't had that problem.
Oh, One Step? I don't use One Step. I've actually not even seen One Step. Maybe I'll have to look for that.
Same Darsan. Stuff that...
Go ahead.
The same stuff I found on the shelf. It's like, oh, sanitizer. There we go. There's, you know, there's two. That one's cheaper. There we go. That was it. So...
But did you know why Darsan's a good sanitizer? It's because it first breaks the cell wall, and then it fills it with acid. You should always use an acidic sanitizer. I didn't know that. Your sanitizer should be acidic. Cool.
So what you're saying is don't leave your hand in it for too long.
Yeah, actually that's a good idea. You know, since Darsan's acidic, if you like killed someone and threw them in there and you had a lot of time to wait, they dissolve eventually?
That's purely like academic. Using Coca-Cola as a dissolving agent. Yes, eventually it'll work.
Well, yeah, you remember that experiment most people do in high school, but I didn't do it in high school because my high school couldn't afford soda. Anyway, you like take a tooth and you cover it with soda, and then it like slowly dissolves. That was just like a primer for the perfect murder. Kill someone, cover them in Pepsi or Coke, whatever you prefer, and let them slowly rot away or disappear.
I just, you know, the river's always worked fine for me.
Float to the top, then someone finds them.
Oh, you haven't properly gutted them. Now, the reason they float to the top is while they're decomposing, gas collects in the body cavities. You just have to do some nice, large X-shaped incisions over the stomach, and you should be fine.
And a cinder block usually helps.
Well, you might be right. Now, I'm a scientist by nature. Is this experiment or conjecture? Because I need to know if it's really going to work.
I'm not sure. What's the statute of limitations, Madman? Can we talk about
it? I don't think there is one for murder.
Well, whenever you're disposing of vacuum cleaners filled with raspberry syrup in an undisclosed landfill, I do believe the EPA will go after you for life, but I'm not entirely certain about this.
But last time we had to dispose of some inconvenient trash bags, that pig farm worked rather effectively, and I'm pretty sure nobody complained about the fertilizer.
Yes, pigs definitely like eating vacuum cleaners.
We almost made it without getting weird and slightly warped. Okay, very warped.
We're using vacuum cleaners as code word for killing people. So
I don't know what you're talking about. I just have a lot of problem with any
vacuuming
type of vacuum
raspberry cleaner. Syrup. Yeah. It's hard to dispose of them.
Yes, it is.
Especially when they backtalk. I mean, clog up.
Yeah, Eureka just puts out a terrible vacuum.
Oh, yep, we've all been drinking. We somehow took a drinking show and got into proper body disposal.
That's only because we're discussing sanitation. That's why I only shower once a year. It saves lives.
<That's right.
laughs> who's moved on with me to helping prevent the earth fall into the sun by drinking?
I'm actually going to need to buy some more whiskey, or eventually I won't be able to do that.
We'll need to... Yeah, we need to make a liquor store run before Gen Con because it's cheaper here.
That might just be Wednesday on the way up to Indianapolis.
True.
You know what? You guys should just buy extra and sell it when you get there. Not for money, because that would be illegal.
I was going to say, we're transporting at state lines without licenses. So
that comes into a quantity thing more than... you would think.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have enough to be considered bootlegging. And if we are, when we get pulled over, I'll just start drinking.
Now, are we low enough yet, officer? No, okay, Madman, next bottle.
Of all the things you could be arrested for, which there are many, bootlegging.
Wouldn't that be an awesome
cool.
charge to have on your record?
Yes.
And you see here, it's like, you know, you're applying for a job and you were arrested for bootlegging.
Is that still a law?
How did you get caught?
Well, I turned my house into a drive-through liquor store that was only open on Sunday. Someone pulled up to my living room window, and I assumed they wanted to buy a beer. I didn't look to see that they were in a cop car at the time. And I personally don't discriminate. I offer our boys in blue a discount. I only charge them twice what a liquor store would have charged them.
You know, maybe it's just me, But if I was hiring somebody and I looked into their background and saw bootlegging, I would want to hire that individual. It's like, you've got to try to get arrested for that.
Yeah.
Like, how many tankers were you driving across state lines?
It's just a go-getter attitude. Trying to profit off bootlegging. When was the last time that was profitable?
I'm going to go with last Sunday in Edmonton County.
I've got nothing left. I don't have any topics. We had about 55 minutes. That's not bad.
Good.
That's right at about an hour. Anybody else got anything they want to throw out there before I hit the dramatic squirrel music?
I'm going to go with one reason Indiana is cool is you can actually buy beer all week long.
Wait. No, you can't.
Can't?
I live here. No, not on Sunday.
Damn it, I could have sworn I skipped across Indiana to buy beer on Sunday.
Now, there are exceptions. If you are buying food at the same time, you can get beer with your meal. But no, we're like a whack job Christian state. And nowhere, you're not allowed to buy beer on Sundays. There's a bunch of legislation trying to get it through so at least wineries and breweries could sell beer on Sunday. And I don't know where the legislation went. Last I heard, you still couldn't. But no, if you go to Kroger or a liquor store, you cannot buy beer on Sunday. It's a bunch of crap.
They had something for our local city here talking about the option was coming up. They could not, they could lift the restriction on Sunday and holiday liquor sales.
I hope they do. I hope they do it here too. But as of now, you can't buy beer on Sunday, which is a bunch of crap. I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to ruin your day, but that's the nature of reality. It ruins.
And I still have to pay taxes.
Oh man, now we're ending on a down note.
No, wait a minute.
Beer is good.
Hold up, I've got some more beer I can drink. I just had a drink of beer, so things are better.
Okay. Well, we can end on such a positive note, then.
Emergency! Emergency!
More random sound effects to close out the show. Actually, no, I know it would be a good thing. Madman, what's your favorite Ben Franklin quote?
Oh, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy?
All right, that's enough. I'm closing this.